Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Steeler 47. Cousins from a collapsing pocket throws an interception. Dante Jackson.
I screwed that up so bad, Doran. We're off to a hot start.
The first Steeler game of the year.
I was trying to find a Lamar Jackson interception because I was going to make the argument that that cost him the MVP, and it was just a Dante Jackson interception. It's going to be that kind of show.
Cousins! Dante Jackson! Interception!
Yeah, Lamar did not win the MVP. And we'll get into that about halfway through this first hour. But I wanted to lead with it because I think Steelers fans go, ha ha, you didn't win it. Josh Allen won the NFL's MVP, despite Lamar Jackson being the first team all-pro quarterback. So we will get into that. Defensive player of the year goes to Patrick Surtain and not TJ Watt. So TJ not honored this year, and I don't think anybody's up in arms about that.
No.
We all saw how he faded down the stretch. He got hurt down the stretch. We're all more mad about how the Steelers use him than the way he played. So nobody's surprised there. There were surprises, though, in the Hall of Fame class. Here's the four that got in. Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates, Eric Allen. Eric Allen had one All-Pro season. I think Antonio Gates deserved to get in.
Yes.
I always judge a Hall of Famer, Doran, on how scared I was of them as a fan when my team was about to play them. And Antonio Gates always scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Steelers going out to play the Superchargers, and they got Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson, and it's really a crime that that team never won a Super Bowl, never went to a Super Bowl, but Antonio Gates scared the hell out of me. Sterling Sharp was a heck of a player, played 7 years, and Jared Allen Yeah, he probably deserved it. 136 sacks, I want to say. Defensive player of the year, had 22 sacks in a season. Yeah, he's a hell of a football player. But did he deserve to go in ahead of Reggie Wayne? Ahead of Luke Kuechly? That's an underwhelming Hall of Fame class for me, Doran. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's, I mean, I immediately when I woke up this morning and saw the class, and I went to bed early last night, and I immediately tweeted, this is a weak class. I mean, it's very, very weak. And sometimes popularity contests, they do fall into these things, and they shouldn't. But I think Jerry Allen was a very popular player throughout the 2000s. And I think that, you know, not saying that he wasn't a great player, but I mean, there's a lot of better players that should have gotten in. Luke Kuechly was a dog. Like I love that you said that you base a Hall of Famer and a great player off of how much of a threat are they to my team? So you're growing up watching the Steelers and the Steelers are playing, you know, Team X, and they have, you know, a really good player, and you're like, oh man, like we got to deal with this dog today. Like I'm sure that every single team and every fan base thought that about Troy Polamalu.
Yes.
You know, like, that is a Hall of Famer.
Ed Reed used to scare the hell out of me.
I don't, like, Jared Allen, like, you know, okay, like, he's a good player. He's going to get, you know, he's going to make some tackles. He's going to get some sacks. Like, he never really did that for me. Sterling Sharp, obviously, he his career got cut short. Now, he would have been a Hall of Famer for you to continue to play if he didn't hurt his neck. But very underwhelming class, and there were some guys that were on that list that probably should have been in it. I mean, Reggie Wayne is another one. He's another one that should have been in.
Look, Sterling Sharp was a great player, but
that's another popularity thing, I think.
Because of Shannon.
Opinion, because of Shannon.
And how popular he is.
Yes.
And his place in sports media. When you play 7 years and you are a 5-time Pro Bowler and a 3-time All-Pro like Sterling Sharp was, you deserve consideration. There's no question about that. They have on Pro Football Reference his 17-game average, right? 90 catches, 1,235 yards, 10 touchdowns. If you're doing that more often than not, yeah, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But any Hall of Famer, save for like the Jerry Rices of the world, are going to have their 17-game averages pulled down by the later seasons of their career where they're not going to be the same player. Like he retired at 29 due to injury.
That's a good point.
At 34, you're not putting up 1,200 yards a year.
That's a good point.
And so you get credit for doing what you didn't do because you get projected out. Like James Harrison, you take James Harrison's best 7 seasons, to me, you talk about a guy who's scary, that's a Hall of Famer. But you get outside of his prime, his age 34 to 39 seasons, he was nowhere near the same guy. His final 5 seasons of his career had 26.5 sacks combined, which is going to pull down his averages.
Mm-hmm.
If you extrapolate any Hall of Fame worthy players, extrapolate the best years of their career, they're all going to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, Sterling Sharp gets the benefit of the doubt for what he didn't do because of what he did, and I don't love that.
Yeah.
Now, Luke Kuechly, I guess you could make the same argument because he played, what, 8 seasons?
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly in his 8 seasons was a 5-time All-Pro, though, where Sterling Sharp, 3 out of 7. Luke Kuechly, 5 out of 8. 7-time Pro Bowler. Defensive Player of the Year. Rookie of the Year. All 2010s team. I'm not sitting here saying Sterling, like, throw him out.
Mm-mm.
But if I could have Kuechly or Sterling Sharp, I'm putting Sterling Sharp in.
Right. And I think
damn
it's
an
age
thing. I meant Kuechly. I said the wrong thing.
I think if you're not like super, like if you're not like an Aaron Donald, right, that's going to get in, what, in how many years, right? And he retired early. I feel like that the age does factor in. Like Luke Kuechly is younger than me. Like, I don't know if they could justify not putting in an Eric Allen or a Sterling Sharp who has been, you know, I mean, it's so long ago since he played, but did what he did in that short period of time, and he's 55, almost 60 years old. It's like, all right, we have Luke Kuechly, who's 35, Sterling Sharp, who has some numbers, did have a career that got cut short, but he's 50-some years old. We got to put him in before we put Kuechly in. I don't know if that plays a factor.
Yeah, I do think it does.
Unless you're like Aaron Donald, who you just is just is absolute sure in Hall of Famer. You can get in at 35 years old.
Well, and then we get into the whole first ballot, non-first ballot thing. Like, I don't think anybody would disagree that Eli Manning is going to get into the Hall of Fame. But he did not go in on his first ballot. I'm actually okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Ben should.
Yes.
To me, Ben is closer to all-time great than Eli Manning.
Yes.
Eli Manning had a really good career, and he won two Super Bowls.
Yes.
Ben had an elite career and won two Super Bowls. Like, you go through and you look at some of Eli Manning's statistics, people were outraged by him not getting in last night. I mean, he had seasons where he threw 27 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eli Manning, is it okay if I think he's a mid quarterback who had two unbelievable runs? I'm not saying leave the guy out of the hall.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you.
He and Ben are not the same just because they were in the same draft class and just because they both won two championships. Like, I do not list me, Adam Richard Crowley, among those who are outraged that Eli didn't get in on the first ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Philip Rivers is a better player than Eli Manning.
I agree.
And he's eligible next year. You sent me the list of eligible guys for next year. Larry Fitzgerald, he should be a first ballot.
First ballot.
Drew Brees a better player than Eli Manning.
Correct.
We'll see if he gets in. Jason Witten, Frank Gore. Frank Gore's like the anti-Sterling Sharp.
Yeah.
Like, because Frank Gore played for 865 years.
Like, he'll get in. Like, next year's class is going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult. I thought this year's class was going to be difficult, but then they, you know, did what they did last night. But I think next year's class, it's, I mean, you haven't even named the whole list yet. And there's still more guys on there that are going to be definitely worthy to make it into the Hall of Fame next year. And you just named, what, 3-4 guys that are probably almost shoo-ins, in my opinion.
Larry Fitzgerald, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, yes. Jason Witten, Frank Gore.
Yes.
Julian Edelman.
No. Ugh.
He's going to get in.
At some point, but not next year.
No, not next year. Point. And I have a tough time with Julian Edelman because his postseason success is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of his, you know, regular season counting stats, not great. LeSean McCoy.
He will get in at some point, probably not next year.
Marquise Pouncey.
At some point.
David DeCastro, I think, is just good enough to be listed there, but probably not going to get in.
Not going to get in.
Sean Lee, the injuries really screwed him.
Yep.
Todd Gurley, no thank you.
No.
Steven Goskowski. You know what? My guy didn't make it, Dorian.
Vinatieri.
People were pissed off about that.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm not a huge specialist in the hall guy, but if I am, it's tough to leave him out. But he's like the 28th most accurate kicker of all time.
Yeah, we had a whole segment about that.
We did.
Was that the whole list?
No. I keep clicking off it. Now I got to go back. Geno Atkins.
Eventually.
Alex Smith. No. Thomas Davis. All eligible next year. Jarrell Casey.
No.
Dez Bryant. No.
No.
But God, was he good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. There are great players who don't make the Hall of Fame. I don't think James Harrison's ever going to get in. And he was a great player. Texter. Can't put a guy in based on what if because Martavis Bryant would be in. Well, I think that's extreme, but I think you're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah.
Right.
Like, you extrapolate guys' careers, like, they didn't play long enough, and then you think, well, in those 7 years, they were outstanding. Who's to say that they have anywhere near the same production in the following 7 years? I also think longevity should matter.
That should matter.
Like, look, guys getting hurt ain't their fault, and so I do feel bad saying what I'm about to say, but if you draft a player who's as good as Sterling Sharp, you hope he's going to be around for like 14 years.
Yes.
Or he's going to have a Hines Ward-esque length of career. Hines played 14 years. And so if you only get 7 years out of a player that good, you're left wanting for the next 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help the team if you're not on the team. And I factor that in. And also, like, Jerome Bettis, always a compiler. Frank Gore, always a compiler. You're wanted for that many years? That means you're good.
And you're durable.
and you're durable.
That should factor into. Should there be a I guess a limit? Should there be a 10-year limit? Or 10-year, you have to have 10 years of service to get into the Hall of Fame. You have to play for 10 years.
I don't think so, but I have a really hard time, if I were one of these Hall of Fame voters, the Ed Bouchettes of the world, comparing a guy who played 7 years to a guy like Hines Ward who played 14
right.
years.
Right.
Text from our good friend Mark Caboli. Your middle name is Dick? Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Mark's coming in today to eat.
Oh, he's doing the pizza today. Yes. We should have him come in and hang out with us a little bit, too.
Well, he'd be drooling everywhere with all kinds of pizza sauce on his face.
He's not going to be drooling.
Yeah, he might.
He will have pizza sauce on his face. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by our great friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I want to play a little bit of a game coming up next. I'm going to name a former Steeler. And you just tell me, right off the top of your head, Hall of Famer or not.
Okay.
If they feel like a Hall of Famer or not.
Okay.
We'll do that coming up next.
Not Hall of Good, but Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Okay.
412-928-9370. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The hell was Snoop Dogg doing last night?
I guess he was hosting the NFL honors or whatever.
Who's that next to him right there?
Jelly Roll? Is that who that is? I think it might be Jelly Roll.
I think he should be called Jelly Rolls.
Jelly Rolls?
Yeah. Make it plural. I think that is Jelly Roll.
Yeah, it is.
Jelly Roll out there wearing a Tennessee Titans uniform and Snoop Dogg dressed in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. And I need to know this. Who do you think would pull that off better, me or Snoop? The Steelers uniform. He does not fill that thing out.
Snoop.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Damn Snoop. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he looks like he could be like high school wide receiver.
Yeah, he could play wide receiver in high school.
Right.
I don't even look like I could be a kicker, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hall of Fame class announced last night. Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates, Eric Allen, all included. No Eli Manning, no Adam Vinatieri. Has people ticked off. I want to play a game here. I'm going to throw out some Steelers names, and you tell me first blush reaction on whether or not they should be Hall of Famers. Because for me, it's a feel thing. Like, we can compare all pros. We can talk about length of careers. We can talk about all-decade teams. And those things obviously matter when it comes to getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But the way I always think is, it's a feel thing. You throw a name out there, I'll say yes or no. And if the answer is yes, then you start looking at it.
Right.
But if you say no, I think that kind of tells you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Cam Hayward.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
100% agreed. Cam Hayward, and now is when you get into the bona fides. Okay. I mean, he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year. That's going to matter. 7-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro. That's a Hall of Fame resume. We both said in the last segment that Geno Atkins is going to get a legitimate look there. And I think that the advent of analytics is going to help a guy like Cam Hayward. Like, he has the counting stats. He had 8 sacks this year, a whole bunch of passes defensed. And I'm just looking at this year. AP first team all pro. But then if you look at any of the PFF stuff, any of the pass rush stuff, run stuff. He's always right up there at the top of the game. And if Aaron Donald didn't exist, Cam Hayward would be looked at even more glowingly, I think, over the course of like the last 8 years of his career. For me, he's undoubtedly a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a first ballot kind of guy, but I'd be surprised if Cam Hayward doesn't get in now at this point.
Oh, for me, I'd look at it like he did it in 2 decades. He was really good in 2 decades. He was good in the 2010s, and I think what he did this year really solidified things. You talk about the longevity and how guys can fall off towards the end of their career. What he did this year, frankly, it was amazing at his age and at his position. He's not at a position where he's not getting hit, he's not getting double teamed, he's not getting pushed around. You know, like, I mean, it's a physical position. He's playing game in and game out. He stayed healthy, and he dominated. So he did it in the 2020s. You could add this year as the 2020 year decade that he did it, and he did it in the 2010s and played at a high level. So, yes, he's an absolute Hall of Famer.
What's insane to me, Doran, is the first 5 years of his career, he had 25 sacks, no more than 7.5 in a season. And his position, it's not all about sacks.
Right.
But just as a statistic to kind of cherry pick here, 25 sacks his first 5 years. His last 7 years, he has 63.5.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed a lot of time last year and was not as effective with the injury down the stretch. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
He had like a backwards career.
Yep.
Like the slow start, and because he wasn't playing a ton, particularly those first couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just gets better with age. Like, I don't think it would shock anybody. I was surprised by it this year. But I don't think it would shock anybody if he's an All-Pro next season.
Right.
Like, I didn't know what we were going to get with Cam this year. But that he did what he did, I'm not ruling out that he could do it again next year. At some point, he's going to fall off, but I'm not going to doubt that guy.
I don't think it's anytime, but like, soon. I don't think it's soon.
Remarkable.
Yep.
Now, playoff success, blah, 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 it's not there.
Okay. I mean, Sterling Sharp, too. Like, they made the playoffs, but like,
I think you have to grade guys on their individual accolades when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I think that there are exceptions.
For sure.
I think the quarterback, it's an exception.
That's a stat. Wins and losses is a quarterback stat.
I've never agreed with that statement more than I do today. Like, that's been the new, like, avant-garde analytical stances. Wins should not be a quarterback stat. There's 21 other starters. Blah, blah, blah. Come on.
Yep.
Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I think Patrick Mahomes is the perfect example of that. Like, early in his career, he was chucking it. Now he's the most elite game manager the sport has. Like, and when the ball's in his hand at the end of the game, you know if you're the opposition, you're going to lose. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I thought we were going to go through more guys there. We didn't. Let's go through more guys coming up next. Steelers that we think could get into the Hall of Fame. We'll transition into the big game at some point. And then there's a couple of other Steelers nuggets out there. A lot to get to on today's show. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think Cam Hayward's a Hall of Famer? You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley. We've been throwing out a bunch of Twitter polls every day. It's fun. It's sports talk. So that's one of ours today. Real quick head-to-head comparison between Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Just for bleeps and giggles. Ben beat Eli 3 times out of 4 when they played head-to-head. That's not a big deal. Ben was 165, 81, and 1 in his career. Eli Manning, 117 and 117.
Oh, wow.
Eli Manning, a 500 quarterback. Ben with a higher completion percentage. Ben with 7,000 more passing yards. Ben with 16 more passing yards a game, with nearly 50 more passing touchdowns, 33 fewer interceptions, a quarterback rating 10 points higher. Ben had 800 more rushing yards. Ben and Eli tied with championships. Ben, a 6-time Pro Bowler. Eli, a 2-time Pro Bowler. Now, where Eli gets Ben is a 2-time Super Bowl MVP, but I would argue Ben kind of got robbed for Super Bowl 43.
Yeah.
Like, Ben, not a popular player among the national media because of things. We know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he was kind of a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
And before being a jackass was made cool by Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I think those guys are very similar. But Ben, the better player than Eli.
They're a different stratosphere. I mean, they're different universes.
No doubt.
Like, it's not even close.
Eli Manning, a 500 quarterback with a rating of 84.1. And this isn't like, you think about Terry Bradshaw way back when, and he's going to throw a whole bunch of interceptions, and even Troy Aikman, where none of his statistics season by season would blow you out of the water, but it was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning played in an era where guys were throwing for 5,000 yards, 4,000 yards routinely, and with quarterback ratings that were never thought possible before guys were doing it. And he had a quarterback rating of 84?
Let's just be honest. If he gets in, he's going to benefit from beating Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl and his brother.
And being from New York.
Yeah, India, and the Giants.
Like, that all matters. I was actually surprised he didn't get in.
Me too.
Because of his popularity. And I like Eli. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be in. But Ben should be a first ballot guy. And Eli should be a guy then who has to wait. Because they're not in the same stratosphere for me. All right, I'm going to name some more Steelers, and you tell me if you think they should get in.
Mm-hmm.
Not if they'll get in, but if you think they should. Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Antonio Brown, to me, is one of the best 5 wide receivers of all time.
Yes.
I mean, an unbelievable talent, unbelievably hard worker. And yeah, okay, the character stuff, fair enough. Like, T.O. had to deal with that, but T.O. got in. I think he's probably a top 5 wide receiver of all time.
Yep.
And when you take the best of Antonio Brown and you compare that to the best wide receivers of all time, like the best 6-7 years of AB's career, it compares favorably with everybody, including Jerry Rice.
Yes.
So you and I are in lockstep on that one.
No doubt. That's that first ballot.
I think if Chris Boswell, Doran, keeps doing what he's been doing, he is going to have a chance.
He'll have a chance.
He might wind up being the most accurate kicker in the history of the game when it's all said and done.
But, I mean,
But I step on my own argument right with that because of the Sterling Sharp deal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I'm extrapolating. Because Justin Tucker, for a while, he's the GOAT, he's the best, and then now the older he's gotten, the worse his numbers have been.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, like, kickers are going to go in every year, so it's going to be a while if Boswell gets in. I mean, like you just said, I mean, Vinatieri's going to get in at some point. Then you'll have Justin Tucker. He's going to get in before Boswell. I mean, Gostkowski's on this list. He might get in at some point. Like, it'll be a long time if Boswell does end up getting in.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah. He probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
But he's automatic. Like, if kickers were treated like the other positions, he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's kicker, I don't think he'll get in. I mean, in the postseason success, yeah, he made the He made a whole bunch of field goals against the Chiefs. He made a whole bunch of field goals against Cincinnati back when the Steelers were winning playoff games. But it's not like he's got the Vinatieri moment of the ball going through the uprights and all the flash bulbs going off. Minka, no.
No.
Watt, absolutely.
Yes.
Unequivocally, yes.
Yes.
Like Jared Allen just got in.
Watt is just, I mean, that's just, there's absolutely going to get in.
Easy peasy.
Easy.
James Harrison. He ain't getting in.
He's not getting in. He should get in. He's feared. He was feared. He changed the game, too.
He did change the game.
Changed the game.
And I think that should matter. And if that matters, then I think Hines Ward deserves serious consideration. Like Caboli, who's traipsing around these parts eating pizza today for the 100.7 pizza eating contest, he's argued vehemently for Hines Ward to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hines having to wait makes sense to me, fine. But I do think Hines should get in. I've gone back and forth on this.
I just think that there's so many better wide receivers.
Yeah.
That will get in and should get in before Hines. And don't take that as a shot at Hines Ward. He was a very good wide receiver. But there's better wide receivers who catch and run and do and catch touchdowns and do the things that wide receivers do than Hines Ward.
Like Reggie Wayne.
He's a better wide receiver.
What's going to drive me nuts?
Hyde's a better football player, but those guys are better wide receivers.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And the counting stats matter. They absolutely do. And it's not that Hines's are bad, but one thing Hines has to deal with is the era that he played in.
Yep.
A lot of those other guys, you'll go, oh, he's better than Hines. And you have to fight that battle every time you're on the ballot. If Julian Edelman gets in and Hines Ward does not, I'm going to lose my ever-loving mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the argument for Edelman is going to be his championship pedigree, his postseason pedigree. And that's fine. That's fine. The biggest moments, the biggest games, do you step up? That should matter. But Hines, a better regular season wide receiver, and oh, by the by, two-time Super Bowl champ and a Super Bowl MVP.
Yep.
So Hines had postseason success, postseason accolades. Man, I'm feeling my traps are getting bigger.
Oh, my goodness.
They're getting bigger.
Maybe they're rubbing your traps right now?
Yeah, and then this part right here, I don't know what this is. They're starting to get lean.
Lats.
The lats are starting to pop right now for me.
Mm.
It's been about 6 weeks. I've been kicking ass. Mm. Sorry, I got distracted by my own beauty.
I saw you.
I'm just rubbing myself over here.
What?
So, like, I can make peace with this, and this kind of sucks to have to say it this way. If Julian Edelman doesn't get in, and Hines doesn't get in, it's not like I'm going to lose sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But if Julian Edelman gets in and Hines doesn't, I'm going to lose my mind. 412-928-9370 is our phone number. You can reach out. You want to talk about Steelers in the Hall of Fame. We got to get into our Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen conversation again.
We do.
We had a big time debate over this.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I agreed that Lamar should be the MVP. Well, Josh Allen won it. I said he would win it. We'll get into that a little bit coming up next. Plus, Bill Belichick, is he going to add another ring to his resume? Caboli is here for that pizza contest.
Mm-hmm.
You're just yucking it up with him. And then Channel 2's Richie Walsh walks in, and Mark immediately abandons us to go talk with the shiny TV guy.
Of course.
Just total big-time move there by Caboli.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he operates. You know? He just kind of just... He knows who he is.
Let me go talk to Richie because he's on TV. He's a big star.
Yes.
Don't want to be slumming it with these radio dweebs. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. It was the closest MVP vote in the NFL since 2003 when Air, McNair, and Peyton Manning split MVP honors. Steve McNair was so good.
He was so good.
In that season in particular, both guys were so good. And for a red-hot second, that rivalry was one of the best in the NFL. Those Titans, those Colts, same division.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But back to present day.
Yeah.
27 first-place votes for Josh Allen, the winner. 23 first-place votes for Lamar Jackson, the loser in this case. 0 first-place votes for Saquon Barkley. There's never going to be a running back that wins the MVP again.
I mean, if it's not going to be Saquon Barkley, I don't see that ever happening again, like you just said.
2,000 yards?
Saquon Barkley should be the MVP. Like, to me, there's no doubt that he should win it, but it's a quarterback award.
It winds up being a quarterback award.
But Saquon Barkley, I mean, come on.
He was head and shoulders above everybody else at his position.
Like, literally, in the air, during a play, was head and shoulders above everybody.
Yes, backwards.
Backwards.
Backwards. He was by far the best running back in the sport this year, and there were people who were arguing for Joe Burrow for MVP. Like, you take those three quarterbacks, and really, statistically, any one of them was deserving of the award. So, they were all in the same bucket. Saquon Barkley, meanwhile, he's in a bucket all by himself for running backs.
How good would Philly be without Saquon this year? They'd still be good, I get it. But how good? Would they be where they are on Sunday without right. Saquon this year?
Right. And he changed their trajectory. I mean, they fell off last season in a big way.
Huge.
And he was a big missing piece for them. Same way, and he wasn't as good, clearly, same way that Derrick Henry changed things, I think, for Lamar. This was Lamar's best statistical season. I think also arguably the best team he's been on. And I think that's part of the reason why Josh Allen won it. You look at the number of Pro Bowlers for Baltimore versus the number of Pro Bowlers for Josh Allen. It's why I said he was going to win. But I agree with you that Lamar Jackson, if you're going with a quarterback, should have been the guy. Lamar was the better player this year. He had the better statistics this year. He had better statistics this year. And people hate whenever I say nice things about Lamar. But he had a better statistical year this year than he had in his previous two MVP seasons. And it becomes one of these lifetime achievement things. Oh, Lamar, he's already won it twice. Josh Allen's never won it, so you give it to him. I guarantee you, if those same three guys, Joe Burrow included, next year have the same exact seasons, but Cincinnati makes the playoffs, it's going to be Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be the same thing.
Yep.
And it's going to, I'm sorry, I'm saying a lot of things here. It's going to make Patrick Mahomes' career look better at the end of his career, too, if Josh Allen's not winning Super Bowls, if Joe Burrow's not winning Super Bowls, if Lamar Jackson's not winning Super Bowls, and they've all got MVPs, and here's Patrick Mahomes with all the rings, and he was able to fend off all those MVPs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I do think that there's a little bit of like Josh Allen winning it this year because he did more with less.
Yeah.
I think you were kind of saying that, too. And, you know, I mean, Lamar Jackson had more and didn't do enough, as much as Josh Allen did. I mean, towards the end and during the season. But that's a great point. Whenever you look back, and if these guys don't win a Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes is going to look like the juggernaut of a player of probably all time. Like, I mean, he's going to be neck and neck with Brady. We know that, but like of all time, to be able to fend off those, like Brady wasn't even able to fend off throughout his whole entire career everybody.
Right, he would, you know, Peyton won two, Eli
won two. You can argue
two.
That the year that Brady did get hurt, that could be a factor too.
Oh, I don't think the Steelers win the Super Bowl in 08.
No.
If Brady's healthy.
Right.
Because they were all pissed off after the 07 season.
Yep.
Ticked off for greatness. I mean, I think back to Brady's career, right? Peyton Manning won four MVPs.
Four.
Aaron Rodgers, a multiple-time MVP, but he's in the NFC. We're talking about AFC quarterbacks challenging the greatness. That's it from the AFC side. Quarterbacks. Peyton Manning won multiple MVPs during that span. No other AFC quarterback
really?
Was.
Wow.
Except for Steve McNair, as we already mentioned, in 2003, and I guess Rich Gannon. But when it's all said and done, this is going to be used, I think, as one of the reasons people will argue that Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT.
Yes.
Because he was able to fend off multiple MVPs. And I'm guessing Joe Burrow will get one at some point, too.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass avocados, 77 cents each, limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.